Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay, yes. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudell. It's not here. Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards. Rick Therese.
Here.
Ray DeHees.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Would you please explain the meeting procedure?
I'd like to welcome you to the March 17th, 2014 Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held in order to allow for final approval of each Division 3 permit application presented at the public meeting from the previous week, and also in order to hear new concept requests that will be presented at next month's public hearing. However, no public hearings were held during the month of March, therefore no final approvals will be required at this meeting at this time. This evening, the Planning Commission will hear three new concept requests, which will be presented during next month's public hearing. If you're presenting a concept request at this meeting, your name or the name of the project shall be called. At that time, please come forward and address the Planning Commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting, with the exception of that provided by the applicant or persons with information specifically requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Do you want to do the minutes first before Ms. Heather?
Yeah, we've got it on the agenda that way anyway, or it doesn't yeah. It does matter to.
I assume everybody's had a chance to go over the minutes.
I'll make a motion to be approved as written.
I'll second.
Motion been made and second. We approve as written. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Very good. John Patton.
Okay. And I've just put together, since this is the concept hearing, I've just put together a PowerPoint presentation really just indicating the approximate location of the proposed project. And this is the approximately 2 acres in question, and I'll let the applicant explain what's proposed. It's on Keithley Road.
Have you read that, Dave? This
The what?
Have you read it?
Read what?
This agriculture proposal he's got.
I've been out there.
Do you think he needs a special permit to raise fruit trees?
He needs one, probably, because he's going to put the barn up and hold a special event and things, perhaps. I don't know. That would be the only reason. The other reason, yeah. No. When I went out there and talked with John, that was the first thing I asked him. I said, what are you doing there? Do you actually need a permit?
I was kind of wondering that myself.
And I suppose technically if he has his deal there, but it's still agricultural and it's done by himself only. But there again, it falls under the heading of a business. Am I correct in what I'm...
And that was going to be one of my questions to the board as well, is... I had some of the same questions.
I don't have a problem with it myself at all, and I think the board should have the discretion to let this go on because it's not an ongoing thing that's going to have all these things that we've got to meet this stipulation and that stipulation and everything. Because I have been out there and was out there and talked to John the other day.
Taney County's got. Where if you set up a little fireworks stand, I mean, you just get mm-hmm. You have a special use permit for that, do you? You just...
Well, we require a special event permit for certain things.
Yeah.
But the thing there is a special event permit is basically a $50 permit that's issued administratively, but it's normally issued for each event.
This is a way out in the country. I don't know whether you're familiar with the place.
Yeah. I know about where it is.
Well, I built a bunch of houses down there at Reno Springs.
That's on my granddad's old place. Yeah. Well, it's up on top of the hill from there. It's right there behind that barn that shows in the picture is on the my Uncle Bud Stewart's old place, which is now owned by Soji Tabuchi.
What are you saying, Randy? Mine,
everything right. Right.
See,
I guess, since he's going to use commercial out of it by having events in there to sell stuff, I guess he does need a special use permit. You know, if you're going to, on an ongoing basis, be selling product out of there. What would you say, Bob?
It's a barn product, too.
Well, I was going to kind of leave this to the discretion of the commission, and it's a...
If it's up on the strip and open 7 days a week or something, that would be different.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, if you raise a few tomatoes and cucumbers on your place, my wife sticks out a sign there once in a while and sells a few tomatoes or eggs or whatever. Well, she does.
Yeah.
It's farm-based.
Yeah.
I don't really feel that I'm in violation, or she is. I know I'm not. She's doing that.
The messed up on the code book here.
That one there.
Yeah.
Bob, what does the code book say about this, about agriculture?
That falls back into interpretation. May and shall.
Well, and one of the things on this is I don't know that I was certain initially what the festivals would entail, but in our conversation earlier, I've been told that essentially it'll just entail tours of processing these products and things of that nature.
Well, let that come on up, sir. Do you intend to expand the business later on?
No, because it's just me and her doing it. And it takes about all I can do just to maintain the orchard and the vineyard. And so, but we do need an outlet for marketing our apples and grapes. And that's basically why the barn came into play.
Do you intend to put up a sign on your property? Offering these goods for sale?
Probably wouldn't do much good on that.
Probably not, yeah. We'll have a sign that says Bear Creek Farms. That's the name of our farm. Because we go from this property all the way down Keithley. We've got three different parcels of land there. And we just called it Bear Creek Farms. But we'll have that sign up there. But the events thing is... not a big deal. All we're going to be doing is, I've got some copper kettles that I'm going to set outside to have a fire under them and cook the apples in those copper kettles. Just kind of, if anybody shows up, we're going to demonstrate. You know, if they don't show up, then
just going to cook it anyhow.
We're going to cook it anyway. Yeah. We're going to do this whether we get
nickel apples.
Yeah, you know, we can only do it in harvest season, which is, you know, for the grapes, it'd be late August, maybe early September for a couple of weekends, two or three weekends, and then the apples, you'd be looking at October, and we're only looking at Friday and Saturday for that. That will be up there to sell the apples. Now, I'll be up there just about every day working in the orchard off and on doing this and that, but as far as being open to the public, it'd just be those... I don't know how many days it'd be.
And on that same thing, I mean, there's no reason for you to limit yourself on how, if we approve this, and if it does go through as your concept goes through, there's no reason to limit yourself to that few a days.
There's just only so much that, you know, I want to do, really. Because I've got another job that I'm a lawn care person, and I take care of a bunch of lawns. I don't have time to. Of course, I'm kind of planning on retiring one of these days. So, and that's what I'll probably be doing most of my time up there after I retire. That's kind of what this is a retirement hobby thing.
Well, I looked it up, and after I was up there and talked with John, and I kind of looked it up and everything, and I think it's kind of in interpretation. My suggestion would be, and this is only mine alone, that let him do his farming up there and things like that. If it becomes something that grows or he wants to sell the business to somebody else, then they would come forward and run it through the P&Z as a business or something, because John's like me. I don't think he's going to be able to do enough work to cause a traffic jam up there.
No.
I agree with you, Dave.
Yeah, so I would move to just proceed, let him proceed as an agricultural project at this time.
I'll second it.
I agree. Okay, and you think that meets the code, Bob?
I really don't think it gets the code, honestly, because
it's an interpretation.
I actually agree with that. I mean, I think it is somewhat interpretation, and I think at the time that we received the application, I wasn't sure what all the events were going to entail. You know, what the following
much,
yeah. Harvest was going to entail.
Going to build a barn anyway, doesn't make any
difference. Yeah, I'm going to build a barn anyway, whether I can do this or not. You know, I've got to have the barn because I got a lot of equipment I've got to store somewhere. And I have a place.
It's orchard equipment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Farm equipment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I've got a bee extractor. It's a stainless steel tube, about so big around and so tall, and I need a place to. I've got little storage sheds I've got stuff scattered around in, and I just need to get it all organized.
Well, wait, now, he's got bees on the property. Did he mention that, too?
I wouldn't need them for that.
Yeah, if you're looking for
better
honey.
I hope you don't have squirrels.
We got lots of squirrels. Yeah,
that used to be my favorite squirrel hunting area down that
They love peaches, I know that.
Oh, man, yeah. They clean my peach tree
yeah.
every year.
They love peaches.
And my apples.
Yeah.
The way I look at this, we need to vote on this.
That would be my recommendation, is maybe to get a vote. Just
yeah.
To
yeah, I think we just vote a resolution that we didn't feel that it was something that needed to be. And I made a proposal on that and got a second there.
So
I think we're ready for a vote.
All those in favor, as presented by Dave, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay? Okay.
You're good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be up there to get some apples. Because the squirrels eat all.
Oh, I've done put in an order for the honey.
Come early.
I got four apple trees, and they can clean it. They clean one at a time.
Yeah, they can clean them out in a day or two.
All right.
I've got deer at my place who'll stand on their hind legs and jump and grab them.
What kind of bees you got?
Italian
honey bees.
They got yellow, brown, and black.
Yellowish color.
Yeah.
Yellowish brown.
They're the tamest ones.
Yeah.
The bunch.
Yeah.
I've got a couple.
Good luck.
I'll do you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Next up is All Star International.
And this is, and again, I'll, since this is the concept, I'll let the applicant explain this one in further detail. But this is All-Star International LLC Nightly Rental, and I've just put together some aerial photography showing the approximate location here, and sorry about that, it's located over here on Tina. And like I said, I'll let the applicant explain what's proposed here.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Dave Gardai, and my wife, Kathy, is sitting back there. What we're looking to do, we're here to request a Division 3 permit for a nightly rental on our house. And the reason is our mortgage payment is $2,200, and we're looking to, get some help. I'm currently working up in Lincoln, Nebraska myself, and Kathy's out of town quite often. So our house is available, and we'd like to, we're just looking to get some help on the mortgage because we've actually have tried to sell it. We'd like to downsize, but we haven't really been able to because we purchased it in 2008. And so, you know how the market is. It's quite down still. And Kathy's in the mortgage loan, residential mortgage loan business, and that's kind of down, so her income's kind of been kind of flat. And we have, the house has two driveways, so there's plenty of parking for up to five vehicles in the driveways off the street, boats or cars. We're on a the community sewer district, TCRSD, so it's not a septic. We also have hired, or we would hire for this, a Lightfoot Enterprises, Tracy, she's sitting back there with my wife, to manage the property, and they would handle any maintenance issues or any issues with the renters, who's ever in there, any violations of our rules, which I can give you these house rules here if you'd like. How many should I hand out?
Oh, you got several of them? Yeah, this
yeah I've got
oh, number yeah, that'd copies. Be great.
I see here where you've applied for commercial. Were you sure you didn't need a special use permit?
It actually would be viewed as a special use permit.
I don't think so.
It, with it being nightly rental.
Commercial.
The applicant may have marked it as commercial, but I know with it being nightly rental, it would be viewed as a special use permit. Oh, that'd be great. Just to let you know, too, the primary difference between a Division 3 and a special use permit is a special use permit is issued to the applicant. And it's non-transferable,
right?
And so nightly rental is.
In other words, if you sold the property to someone else, then this would go away, and then
correct.
Be back up to where
they would
it
have to reapply.
Exactly.
So we're,
exactly.
We're not looking to transfer it.
Yeah,
that is somebody that might purchase the house.
Okay, so you'd be actually looking for a special use permit rather than changing your property to commercial.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Because commercial, you end up with more taxes.
Yeah, we are not looking to change it to commercial.
Do you know of any other Notley rentals in your area?
There's a Vickery Resort, which is approximately 300 feet away from us down the street. They have two condo complexes, and I'm pretty certain they have nightly rentals there throughout the summer. There's quite a bit of traffic there. Any bass tournaments that come into town, they seem to, you know, go there a lot.
Well, we've had people apply from this area before for this.
Okay.
And it didn't go over real good with the folks in the neighborhood.
Is that right?
I mean, I'll forewarn you.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean,
you have the right. I'm not taking your right away or anything, but I'm telling you, they will go ape on you.
And we're probably looking at not doing it a lot. We're probably looking at 20% of the time. You know, we don't want a nightly rental at full time, but we're just looking for something that'll help us with our mortgage payment.
Do you intend to live there during this time?
Yes, sir. Okay, not so while they're nightly rentaling, but, you know, we're going to adjust our, you know, work our schedule around who's over there. So,
okay. Any other questions?
Some of the house rules I'll just point out as far as noise. We have noise ordinance. We would plan on being consistent with the city noise ordinance. And there would, of course, be no pets. And of course, we're going to prohibit any fireworks, of course, no drugs. We're going to limit it to 15 people there, no parties, so there wouldn't be. And we're also going to give these house rules and the phone number there to any of the residents, people that live close by on that street, in the event that there are, you know, loud parties or whatever, they can contact Tracy or Life Enterprises, and she would take care of that.
Bob, will this clear on the 15 people? How many
beds? I can ask the same question.
How many bedrooms is it?
Five bedrooms.
Five?
Yes, sir.
The way our current regulations are written, and I do apologize, we haven't had an opportunity to sit down either, but it's two. It allows up to two per bedroom.
Okay.
And then an additional, I believe it's an additional two for the for the whole residence. Yeah. So basically, you'd have 10 plus an extra two. So I think it would allow up to 12.
We would have to limit it to 12 then. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wasn't aware of that. But.
And how about the parking? How many cars would that be?
Let me pull up those regulations really quickly. Sorry about that.
David, I suggest that in the meantime, before you come back here next month, that I would entertain talking to some of your neighbors.
Absolutely.
And maybe, maybe show them this.
Right.
Be upfront with them what you want to do, because, like Dave said, that, you know, and what we got to do is what's best for the public. You know?
I understand.
Yeah.
As far as parking, it's requiring one space for each two people. So if we allowed 12, basically it would require the six parking spaces.
Okay.
Do you have that?
I would have to be.
You got
five.
Two-car garage?
So we would, two-car garage, and then we have another driveway that's separate from that. I'd be comfortable with five. So if that's the case, we would have to limit it to 10, is what you're saying, correct? Well, that's good to know. I will say that the two houses on either side of us, one is vacant, the other one is the people live up in Kansas City, and they're rarely there. But that's a good suggestion, is to go talk to my neighbors too.
Most of your rentals probably in the summer anyway, don't you?
Yes, sir. Probably start May to September.
You already have the right, as you probably know, to rent on a longer-term basis.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to come before us on that, but...
For a nightly rental, though.
For a nightly rental, it is different. And I think that the ones that applied previously, that there was such an uproar, if my memory serves me correct, they were denied because it just really, the people there didn't feel it was compatible with the neighborhood. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to scare you, but I just want you to know what you're getting into.
Yeah, I would very encourage you to talk to your neighbors.
All right.
Be up front with them.
I will do that.
Because, these places are run properly. You got parking. You're on cities. You're on regular sewer. You're not on your own individual sewer. And a lot of times we'll accept it if there's no big outcry from the public.
Right.
Yeah, there is some areas where it's almost built of things like that, and it's a subdivision, but everything's nightly rentals in the thing. I mean, up at the golf course by 86, that's about all there is out there.
But we appreciate you coming and being up front with us.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay, we just want you to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
I'll be out to take pictures and stuff.
I'm sorry?
Bob will be out.
He'll be out to take pictures. Okay.
Give us a show.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Washington Affordable Housing.
And I've just put together a PowerPoint presentation again indicating the location. And as this suggests, it's off of Washington Lane, off of Highway 76. This is 76 here and T Highway. And this is the property in question. And I'll let the applicant explain what's proposed. I have on this, the applicant has submitted a site plan, and I've also tried to zoom in a little bit. But I'll go ahead and turn it over to you at this point.
Well, I guess the short version is we're trying to get approved for doing mobiles, modulars, whatever you call them, but it's essentially a mobile home park.
Are these going to be mobile homes, like are manufactured type homes?
Well, they're going to have wheels under them. So they would probably be considered mobile.
They're going to be wider than 12, 14 foot.
Well, the way we've got it drawn up now, and I mean, honestly, the width would just change the lot size. But the way we've got it drawn up now, I think he said they're the narrower. They're 14 or 16 foot. I forget the specs he used for it.
And I assume I haven't been back in that area in ages. I assume the road would... You know about that, Randy?
The road is counted down to the draw there at the creek before our maintenance stops. Just below North Fork, right in that area there is where we stop maintaining things. Public or private road from that point on.
Now, is all this stuff in green the land that you own?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's kind of laid out weird, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We've actually put an offer in on one of the pieces already, the parcel on the left that's commercial. And I know you guys have, well, it's not recently anymore, but I know there's a storage building's been approved there already.
Is that where John Epps' construction office was?
Yes, sir.
Got it right here.
And then Steve Creedon owned it. He's the one that came through for the storage buildings. And the bank has it now.
Isn't that kind of hilly there?
Parts of it are and parts of it aren't. Everything, basically the top up there is flat. There was an old orchard actually behind Epps' house there.
Yeah.
All of this up in here is really, really flat. But there's a ravine that runs right down through the bottom edge of the property.
And how do you propose to hook up to the septic on the sewer end?
Okay. I have talked to Brad. We haven't gotten any specifics. Obviously, we've not done any engineering. But the sewer line runs right here, and it crosses going up this way. It kind of zigzags up and through here. So there's sewer line here, and there's also another line that runs right up through here.
Does that end up at the Hollister plant?
Yes, sir. This is the new lift station they just built. They just did an upgrade on this lift station down here, and it goes up and over the hill. The And in the county water district, they actually have a line that terminates, we think it terminates right here and runs up this property line, but he thinks it's a 4-inch line down there. So there's also county water on site.
Is this here on the lower part of it, is that house is already in there? Or what is that?
Right here?
Yep.
Yes, sir. This is a Cedarwood is what it's called, but it comes off of Honeybee there on T Highway. Yeah. It gets the back.
Them roads are canned. We took that subdivision.
Went the wrong way.
Where's the access off 76 up here?
Yeah, here's the.
All right, here on
the corner, Walkington Road.
Up there by the cemetery.
Yeah, right across from the cemetery.
Yeah.
Any other questions for the gentleman?
I don't have any.
I'm good.
I guess we'll see you next month.
All right. Thank you very much.
I guess it's... that's all with the concepts, right?
And that's all the concepts we have.
How about some old and new business?
I actually listed down a couple of specific things. The first one, I really wanted to get the Planning Commission's opinion on this. We've got a property, it's at 1482 Lakeshore Drive, and this is actually a property, and I just went ahead and put the PowerPoint presentation back up. It was approved in April of last year as a bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. Prior to being a bed and breakfast, it had been Gary Smalley's office. It had been a ministry office. The owners, the applicant, is now wishing, and I'll let him speak to it in more detail in case you have specific questions, but it's my understanding that now he's wishing to continue to utilize it as a ministry, but it's my understanding that it would also provide housing on site. I just wanted to see as a group if we felt like that was a change of use. To a certain extent, I felt like it was a combination of the previous two approvals, but I wanted to get
kind of. He's downsizing a little bit.
I wanted to get the opinion
and traffic
of the group.
And, I mean, all the things. It sounds to me like.
And the applicant is available if there are questions. I just felt like this was the best approach on this one.
What's your name, sir?
Jason Brawner.
Was to
he
bring
used
up.
To kick a football now and then.
Actually, that was my brother.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're right.
I'm the lesser known brother. I'm like the other Manning.
I remember when we approved this last year. I'm sorry, but I don't remember that you were here.
I was not.
One of the reasons they were doing this is because they were putting it up for sale and thought it'd make it more valuable for selling. So you were the owner of it at that point in time also?
I was not. Actually, Gary and Norma Smalley still own the property. And so here's what I'm doing. I have secured a lease option with the Smalleys for the next 2 years. We were going to make the improvements on the property just as the bed and breakfast folks were, same improvements. What we're going to do is use it for a discipleship program, much like literally across the street, Kids Across America, and up the street, Kennecott does. And so, yeah, that's what we were planning on doing. So as far as use, it would be our discipleship program's a 9-month program, again, similar to theirs. But it would be, I don't know, that's... We kind of went back and forth on as far as use goes. It's extremely similar, but we both agreed that it probably needed to go through you guys just to make sure that we're hitting on all cylinders here.
I don't see how we have to do anything with it.
I think it's a lesser use. I'm happy with it.
That was our initial feel, yeah. but we wanted to get the confirmation of the group.
And we didn't zone it when we did it back in April. We didn't do it as a special use. We did it as commercial already, correct? Mm-hmm.
I believe that's.
Originally? I don't remember on that.
I believe, and this is way back. My father built the building 20 whatever years ago, and originally when it was zoned for commercial or there was some sort of. Other part to it as well, as far as using it as a bed and breakfast, but I don't know if when the last folks came through, if they had to, I don't know exactly what the procedure was, but yeah.
Well, I don't remember if we, I thought it was already commercial, period. Not
it seems to me that this use fits uses that are already going on in that area to be compatible with things, you know. In other words, like in ministry programs and camp programs and all that.
And like I said, my feel initially when approached on this is I felt like it was a little bit similar to each of the prior uses that have been approved. So
I'm good with it.
I'm good with it, too.
I would propose that we don't do a zoning change on him. Let him proceed as planned under the present zoning that's on it now.
I agree.
I'll second it.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Worked out.
Now, do we have some amendment discussion here?
Yep, and if actually, if you don't mind, I didn't put this in there as a next agenda item, but one item I just wanted to bring to light because I thought there may be some confusion next month when you get one of these.
Okay.
We've actually got some folks that are going to be vacating a subdivision next month. They're essentially, it's just a small 11-lot subdivision. It was originally platted in 1964, and to be open and honest, I really thought that the reaction of the Planning Commission may be, why are we hearing this? And per the subdivision regulations, when we, now, you know, we've adopted these subdivision regulations that are separate from the Development Guidance Code book, and it's basically calling for the Planning Commission to approve a vacation of a subdivision. Essentially, they're just wanting to take these 11 lots and convert them back into one lot.
They own all the lots in the subdivision. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
There's no other owners involved.
Exactly. They're the only owners, so
it's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
It would just be residential to residential, correct?
Yes. It's not a change of use. It's really, just like I said, literally a vacation of this subdivision plat. But it just called for it to come before the Planning Commission. And I just
want to reduce the taxes on it a little bit, I'm guessing.
I would say you're correct.
Yeah. I know I pay some taxes on some lobster.
Yeah.
Not worth what I pay for them.
But that was the biggest thing, is when this actually comes before the Commission.
Yeah.
It's not a normal proposal, so I just primarily wanted to give the group a heads up.
Do we have to run that through, or can that?
Well,
can we do it now?
Well, yeah, I don't. You have to give us a presentation, don't you?
I really felt that we should hold a public hearing on it, just because it spoke to the Planning Commission approving it.
Just for this one so much as perhaps the following one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was.
I would concur with that.
That would need to be posted with public knowledge and all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was my only intent here. Was mm-hmm. just a heads up.
Now you get into multiple owners, and boy, that get hairy.
Oh, exactly. But fortunately, this is a single owner.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, it's 11 lots, but it's actually a fairly small piece of property, or reasonably. I think it's 14 or 15 acres, and they're basically just wanting to convert this back into one tract of land. Mm-hmm.
I
think it's
good. You have to wonder why they
did
that. I guess taxes.
Yeah, taxes would be cheaper.
I think that's probably the primary reason.
Anything else under amendment discussion?
On this, I don't have anything written at this point, but I wanted to explain part of the reason why. In speaking to the county commissioners individually, they've indicated that they want the staff to draft a new set of erosion control regulations, and I knew it was going to take the staff some time to get that together. Some of the issues that Randy and I have experienced with some erosion control issues, they'd really like to see us put together a separate document, and I was hopeful I was going to talk to this group and see what the consensus was.
We're involved in drafting that. I mean, we're supposed to draft that erosion control falls under planning and zoning. Yeah, I guess it would. Yeah.
Well, it's currently part of the code book.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I understand that, and it's necessary anymore in some places, because there's some people that's really been hurt in the past by water dumping. And, well, even the county's been hurt.
The area you just about the mobile home park—that's the area you were talking about last month, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is close to that area.
It's pretty close.
And even depending on what even this project, that the concept is, that's going to have some impact on already pre-existing homes in different areas, depending on the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so a person's going to have to ask for topo maps to see kind of how the land lays, where is the impact going to fall, and
right.
how much is it going to affect the next guy.
And it can vary widely.
Yeah.
On what your conditions are.
Right.
Strangely enough, on flatter land, this tends to be more of a problem than it is on more hilly land for some reason, in most cases.
Just driving the outskirts of Springfield, look at some of these newer subdivisions,
the
retention ponds and the release basins and stuff that's required in them areas. Just
well, like in Southwest,
but it's not really what you call steep, but you retain a lot of water that's going to impact roadways or different areas.
There are places in Southwest Springfield, I mean, that their city streets go under because of old plans and things that had happened a long time ago.
Well, the streets weren't designed to handle that kind of improvements and play catch-ups.
But my hope there was that maybe the staff could draft all of the amendments at one time instead of piecemealing, was my hope.
Now, Bob, are you going to rewrite the whole code book or just kind of adjust the one we got?
Well, I guess that's part of the... We had a little bit of a discussion about it at the last meeting, but I don't know if that decision was ever made, in all sincerity.
I got several things that I flagged in a minute. One of them was the thing that Randy was talking about, and rather, we had discussed the erosion and that kind of stuff. Should they be in the road standards, or should they be in both?
Well, and of course, this group will have to propose something that then goes to the county commission. What the county commissioners have really indicated is that they would like to see basically a standalone set of regs that the code
we
book would reference.
We need an engineer to do that, though, don't we?
Yeah,
well, the hope is, and we'll see where things actually.
Up?
Where things actually go.
What are the state regulations in place now on this? That is one say, if you want to take the coward's way out, we say, well, we just conform to state regulations, if you want to take the coward's way out.
Yeah, but that's only on a state road, right? It wouldn't
no,
be on a county
no,
road.
No. You can use their standards and apply them to bed and breakfast, I mean, or whatever. I mean, you just say you conform to those. Well, like our sewer installing here, we conform to state standards now. We don't conform to Taney County standards, or Greene County, or Stone County, or whatever. It's the same deal. You just that's one way out. I said the coward's way. I should rephrase that, but that's one way out. I mean, that you can do. But it might or might not serve our purposes.
Let me talk to you back. Good luck writing a completely new code book. That's all I got to say to you.
It won't help.
Well, I mean,
I'm a
part of that. As they do these projects, I mean, we look at the concept and we vote on it, and basically by the whether you have stormwater runoff, that you're providing guidelines for them. Somebody's initially got to before it signed off on. Inspect this and make sure they conform to it. That's been the biggest problem.
There you go.
Nobody's out there looking at this as they build it. And then the problems arise. But
well, we could expand your duties.
Guidelines, so.
We could expand your duties then, couldn't
well,
we?
Well, I mean, we're kind of already doing that.
Yeah,
in,
I know you are.
In different areas. And it's, I mean, I'm not looking for anything unreasonable. But just something, just common sense type stuff.
Well,
somehow you write it down on paper and common sense goes out the window. You've got
well,
the petty word
I understand
then.
The starting point, like you said, might be the state guidelines if there are any for that.
Yeah.
And then tweak it to fit.
We can't be less stringent than the we can't be less stringent than the state anyhow. We can be more stringent than the state, but is the way the current laws are written on these kind of applications.
It would also kind of be same thing with surrounding counties, so we're not forcing anybody to move.
Well, and a lot of it is they're really investigating the possibility of having a county engineer. Again, there has been in the past, and they're looking at that as a possibility. I mean, that's just something that's been thrown out there as a possibility.
Well, I agree with Dave that, you know, we could start with the state statutes and then kind of upgrading we need to do from that. Go from there.
Well, you can, I mean, we're not making an official movement, but I mean, if the commission is in agreement on that, well, we can bring this back before the commissioners to let them know kind of what we feel about it, and then we could upgrade it at a later point. We can always have our February meeting and talk about all this good stuff, and then it goes, and you never hear it again.
Oh, that's off the record.
No, that's what's happened. I mean, we've gone through the code book while I've sitting here, paragraph by paragraph. At least I've gone through it with a commission at least four times, and we've made changes and we've done this and that. And it does. There has to be changes. There has to be updates, and you have to conform with what's current and what's going on now. But there again, it gets into something where it takes a whole lot more volunteer time than most of us want to donate to the county.
What do you recommend, Randy?
I recommend having a set of stormwater kind of guidelines, regulations, or whatever. I mean, as a starting point, the road standards cover pertaining to the road, but what do you do to the areas that isn't covered under the road standards?
That end up on the road.
A huge case in point, I mean, you've got a property that they were following all the guidelines set out for your guys, a few little things that they didn't follow quite what the engineer, but they corrected them. But there again, when the water leaves the site, there's no regulations. I mean, they just dump it onto somebody else and become somebody else's problem. Hmm. And that, to me, right there, isn't fair to the property that was there prior to the next development.
It isn't fair if it alters the flow or the changes the flow.
It is.
Otherwise, it's a buyer. You bought that situation, you got it.
Right.
But if you build something and it changes the amount of flow or the direction of the flow, then it becomes a problem that needs to be addressed by what's done upstream.
I agree. If you got the natural lay of the land and it's had that and you buy that, that's a pre-existing problem. I mean, that's something we just have to deal with. But in your improvements, you create additional that you follow the guidelines, you build retention piles or whatever, but where does all that go? You're altering where that went previous.
You increase the floor. You increase the flow lots of times with subdivision with your streets, which is impervious. Your housetops are impervious, and it brings down the usable amount of land for your flow, and it causes a greater flow. And that's what we have to try to, if we're going to address it, that's what we have to seek to do to handle it.
Does the city of Branson have any kind of code on this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So that's something we could look at also, get suggestions from.
But the state codes will cover a lot of this to give you a starting point. Mm-hmm. And then we might modify it on some of this stuff and make it a little more stringent as needed, it would be my suggestion. But you've got a starting point.
Well, there's a way of alleviating this if you could see it beforehand, but when they make their concept and their presentation on something like this, you guys are going to have more information rather than just a plain piece of paper with a simple drawing. It doesn't show you enough information unless you're well aware of the area or the terrain, then you kind of get a feel of what may happen.
I know.
Happen.
Okay. And there again, though, people volunteering their time on the commission don't go look at these projects near as much as I mean, I've been here a long time, and I've looked at literally hundreds and hundreds of projects. I usually try to go look at a project don't have it clear in my mind.
Well, when we can present some of that during our meeting here, rather than us have to use extra time to. I mean, there's big projects you probably want to go look at, but.
Okay, with this mobile home park, that's going to be a lot of land disturbance right there, and a lot of runoff. You think we need to require him to bring us a?
They already have to have a plan,
an engineering plan for what's going to happen. Yeah, that's all.
Well, that's already in the regulations.
They do, but there's not a lot that really spells out.
Yeah.
What they have, like. There's nothing that really tells them when a detention basin is required, for example, or there's not a lot that tells them how they have to size the basin or where they have to put it.
Well, on a project this size, will it have to be engineered?
You'd almost have to think he would. I mean, I assume he's going to be pouring pad after pad after pad.
Yeah.
The roads will all have to be built to county standards, so that part's covered. But then,
that
as
part
you
is
drain
covered,
these
yeah.
roads, it really doesn't get that critical on drainage as far as in the road standards.
Well, that property there, like you said,
that's
that
where the stormwater runoff comes into play, kind of.
And you can't ever depend on it. You never know what's going to happen. But to me, there's an old rule of thumb. The bigger the project, the less chance of making it. And it goes that way a lot of times, you know. You know, they may, you know, this thing could all get put through there and approved and put all these things down there and the money don't come through. We used to have projects come all the time, but they were looking for funding. They were looking for money, and they had to lay out something that they could draw somebody's attention to get the funding on it and that. But it's still, I mean, even in good times, only about 30% of the projects go through and are actually done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is not good times.
Yep. That brings up a question I've got, and you touched on this our last meeting, is when you approve something, is there a timeline if it never happens? Does that
there was when I was on the commission before, and they abolished it, and I'm still mad about it. I brought it up at one of those meetings when we were doing all this stuff, and I said if they didn't do something or renew it within a year, then it went away, and it was no more. But it's not that way anymore, and I still don't like it. I'll be right up front about it.
Who abolished it, Dave?
I don't know. I wasn't here at that time. Mr. Hershen fired me.
That was prior to me as well.
Marlita is not required. She is not required to comment on things like this as a county employee.
I think it's Bonita's fault. She was the only one over here.
Can we put it back in, Dave?
What?
Why can't we put it back in?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, you can with a vote of the commission. It'll have to go through, you have to go through the procedure. I mean, you go through public hearing, and then it comes before, and the commissioners will have to prove it. And yeah, you got to go through the deal, but it was in there at one time. If you want to see a copy of it, I've got some old regulations at the house. I can show you a copy of it.
One of the problems with that is say that somebody has a special use for a bed or a bed and breakfast or a nightly rental or something, and they don't ever use it. 5 years down the road, somebody buys a house next door to them, and then all of a sudden they start doing it.
Yeah. Well, you touched on one of my tender spots about that. And another one I don't like is charging for these permits. And I realize the county probably needs the income, but I don't know. It wasn't ever voted on. It don't meet the Hancock Amendment controls on something like that can be where you can impose fees on people without a public hearing and go through all the process. And I don't think we're in compliance there, if you want to get right down to it. And that's my personal opinion. I'm not speaking for anyone else.
All right.
Now, with that, we'll have altar call and I'll go home.
All right. All right. We through with business. Anything else
I don't have anything else.
And I shouldn't. I sure hadn't planned to bring all this up tonight, but we got to talking.
They're working on a set of stormwater rigs.
It's almost a situation of getting an engineer involved in that, I would think. To even write them up.
I'd say you'd have to have engineering. I agree with that.
Okay, no further business appearing. I guess we need a motion to adjourn.
I'd make that motion before I get in more trouble.